literally 100 opinions on this Drake album, which just came out last night. You know what I mean? It's been out for hours.
Right.
You can already read hundreds of different opinions on it right now. You know what I mean? At your fingertips, that's crazy. I grew up, I'm 37 years old, and I just grew up in a different, era. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You learned about things through magazines, it'd be a real slow drip of learning. Now you can learn a lot very, very quickly. So I think the challenge is saying something, exclusive, so to speak, having an exclusive idea, which is impossible really to have, I think, in some ways. But ways to get around that are to write about things that not everybody's writing about, try and draw attention to things that people aren't paying attention to, or try to surface an element of what you notice in the art that people aren't talking about either.
Right.
You know, and that can be very difficult because there's a lot of people out there who are really scouring our to see what they want to say about it. But I think that's always a noble goal, and we have to remember that we all, even though we feel like, you know, this digital world we live in makes us feel like we're all one in a million.
Right.
It's important to remember that's actually true. We are one in a million, and we do have a unique human experience with music. And criticism's whole thing is to try and explain your encounter to other people to make them kind of feel a surrogate encounter, if you will. So the encounter and the engagement that you have with the music is unique, and I think locating what that is important. I think a lot of music writers, when they start, they really would kind of want to echo what everyone else is saying, what they've been told by the artist, publicist, things like that. Getting away from those ideas and trying to find out what a piece of music says to you as a human being is really, really important.
All right. Yeah, that's some really good advice.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's like I started it today, and I've been doing this professionally for almost a decade now. So it's a lifelong goal, I think.
Right. And how have you taken, like, mistakes and stuff that you learned in, like, through your whole years of writing and applied them to today?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think we're constantly making mistakes and constantly getting better as human beings, which is kind of like the torture and blessing of being alive.
Right.
I look back at things I wrote just last year and go, oh, God, that could be better, that could be stronger this way, and it makes me, like, want to smack myself in the face, but then I'm improving, and I can tell where my weaknesses were. You know what
right.
I mean? So, in terms of like specifics, I mean, just on the things I learned earliest on were very simple things. Just be factually accurate 100% of the time. You cannot botch someone's age or their birthplace or even the size of their tennis shoe, because when you do that, you begin to lose your credibility with people immediately. If you can't get the facts right, no one is going to trust your critical opinion. So at a newspaper, that's something that's huge here. Every time I have a correction, I literally hang my head in shame when it happens. It happens like two or three times a year where I have a screw up.
Oh, okay.
And it still hurts my feelings badly. You know, I just had a day where I mixed up a bass player's name and the drummer's name, and I said the one was the other, you know?
Oh, okay.
It ruined my whole weekend because I was a boneheaded mistake.
Right.
But I know that people in that world who are into that music, they go, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a tourist. He doesn't even know what a bass player is. So you learn from your mistakes that way, factually. I think that's like the number one thing I try to impress on young journalists when they're starting, is if you don't have the facts right, no one will trust your opinion. And then other than that, I think the other thing, maybe not like a mistake I've learned from, but just like the lesson I've learned, is just the more you read, reading is like almost a form of writing, if you will. The more you read, the better writer you become. I know that's like a really kind of like something your English teacher might tell you in ninth grade.
Right, yeah.
But it's really true. Like, and the musicians I know, the more music they listen to, the better musicians they are. The rappers I meet, the more rap they listen to, the better rapper they become. You know what I mean?
It's
about fluency. And I think the more you can read, it's constantly, you're just building your brain, you know, the way like a NBA player does in the off season.
Right.
Even when you're not writing, when you're reading, you're like training yourself and making yourself better. So I just tell people, like, if you want to be a writer, the first question is like, well, how much do you love to read? You know what I mean?
Right.
Constantly, are you reading, you know, 10,000 words a day minimum, you know? And then if so, then you're in the right world. Keep going.
Right. And how important is it to be active in the music scene?
Well, for a critic, I think it's incredibly important. Active, I don't think it means that you have to have friends and know the guy at the door, but I think active means going out and experiencing the music, or just you can even be experiencing the music from your own home, if you will, you know, through the internet. But I think experience is paramount, and you have to be doing it constantly and challenging the kind of encounters that you're having, and putting your